Support comes from Pacific Science Center, working to inspire the next generation of scientists and increase access to STEM education statewide through digital discovery workshops, science on wheels, and summer camps. More ways to support these efforts at pacsci.org.
Hey there, from the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Ruby DeLuna. Here are today's top stories. It's Wednesday, April 10th. Athletic wear company Lululemon is the latest store to announce it's leaving Seattle's Pacific Place Mall later this month. The so-called Ghost Mall has become a symbol of downtown's struggle to recover from the pandemic, Monica Nicholsberg reports.
On a sunny Wednesday morning, you could count the number of shoppers at Pacific Place Mall on two hands. Most who did show up were there to shop at Lululemon. Ann Mars does almost all of her shopping online, but she wanted to lay eyes on a present for her picky granddaughter before buying it.
If she didn't love Lululemon, I would not be downtown today.
When Mars worked downtown, she was a frequent visitor to Pacific Place.
Just the entire mall has changed since I worked here. I worked a couple of blocks from here, and I haven't been in the mall probably in a year. And so when I walked in, I thought it looked, it used to look vibrant and alive, and it looks deserted.
A spokesperson for the mall's owner called Lululemon's departure unfortunate, but said there's interest from other prospective tenants. Monica Nicholsberg, KUOW News.
A Boeing whistleblower says nearly 1,000 planes in use right now have some serious structural flaws. That quality engineer is planning to talk more about this during a U.S. Senate hearing next week. The Seattle Times reports that Sam Salapour says Boeing took shortcuts and hid design flaws that could cause 787 and 777 jets to suffer premature structural failure. Boeing told the paper those claims about the 787 are inaccurate and that it's fully confident in the safety of the 777. The clock is ticking for King County's 10 public health centers. Most will have to close next year unless the county comes up with a budget fix soon. Eilish O'Neill has more.
The clinics provide primary care, prenatal care, substance use treatment, and more. They serve people who use Medicaid or who don't have adequate health insurance. Many of the patients don't speak English, and a sizable portion are experiencing homelessness. Robin Guinness is a social worker at the county's Eastside Clinic.
No one place has the ability to just absorb the care for all of the folks that we've been serving, and certainly not in the same way that we have.
King County Executive Dow Constantine sounded the alarm about the budget shortfall last year, but the county didn't get the fix it wanted from the state legislature. The executive's office is now working on other options to present to the county council in early May. That could include a ballot measure for voters. Eilish O'Neill, KUOW News.
A University of Washington football player has been charged with raping two women. 18-year-old running back Tylan Rogers was arrested on Friday and released on bond the following day. King County prosecutors rush filed two felony charges against Rogers yesterday. They say the alleged rapes occurred last fall. UW football coach Jed Fish, who accepted that position in January, spoke to reporters yesterday.
As soon as I found out about the allegations, as soon as it was brought to our attention, he's been suspended indefinitely. So I have no comment about what happened in the past. That has nothing to do with me.
That audio courtesy of Fox 13 Sports. Questions are circling around why Rogers was suspended for one game after an alleged victim filed a Title IX complaint with the university, but was then allowed to play in the playoffs and the national championship game. His next court date is an arraignment scheduled for April 18th. Over a three-month period this year, there were at least six suicide attempts at Tacoma's ICE Processing Center, according to new reporting today from the Seattle Times. The paper accessed records and audio recordings of 911 calls that took place between January and March. Last month, 61-year-old Charles Leo Daniel died at the immigration facility. He'd been held in solitary confinement for nearly 4 years, according to the paper. A cause of death has not been released by the Pierce County Medical Examiner or federal immigration officials. ICE did not respond to a request for comment for the story. The EPA has announced strict limits on certain so-called forever chemicals known as PFAS in drinking water. This will require public water systems to reduce the harmful chemicals to the lowest level that they can be reliably measured. Officials say this will help prevent thousands of illnesses, including low birth weights, cancers, and liver disease. The state health department also requires public water providers to test for PFAS. So far, the chemicals have been detected in 253 water systems in Washington. State hydrologist Mike Means says the state's testing is not yet complete, and the cost for adapting water systems is highly variable.
Right now, we have a very, very rough estimate of cost that could happen, but we don't know for sure that it will. And that cost estimate currently is at about $1.6 billion.
Critics fear these costs will be passed on to consumers and say legal challenges are sure to follow. The new guidelines are twice as stringent as advisory limits Washington State put in place in 2021. Utilities around the country are facing local pushback as they build wind farms and solar arrays to help fend off climate change. A proposed solar project on San Juan Island has some locals upset about the loss of open space. John Ryan reports.
The sunny San Juans get most of their power from the mainland by way of underwater cables that are already nearing their limits as demand keeps growing. The local electric co-op wants to cover a pasture outside of Friday Harbor with thousands of solar panels. Officials say the project would more than double the county's energy production, and sheep could still graze beneath the solar panels. Some opponents say they welcome solar power, but not on farmland preserved as open space. Globally, last month was the 10th record hot month in a row, highlighting the urgency of switching to clean energy. The San Juan Power Co-op is also exploring the use of tidal power in Rosario Strait. San Juan County is taking comments on the proposed solar farm for the next 2 weeks. John Ryan, KUOW News.
Next time on Seattle Now, the City of Seattle and the Seattle Police Officers Guild have a tentative agreement on a contract. We'll find out what's in it and what it says about Seattle's relationship with the police. That's Thursday morning with host Paige Browning. And that's a wrap from the KUOW Newsroom in Seattle. Our producer is Andy Hurst, and I'm Ruby DeLuna. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See you tomorrow.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.